thank you so much for encounters, not services. Thank you for visitations and demonstrations. Thank you for revelation, knowledge, impartation, and manifestations of spiritual gifts, signs, and wonders. Father, we come in agreement, expecting an outpouring of burden removing, yoke destroying power to be made available to take care of every need in the house. Father, help us to comprehend what you are getting over to us. I'm asking you to illuminate hearts and minds, open eyes and ears, so we can grab hold of what you have for us today. Father, I'm asking you to illuminate your holy written word. Unravel the mysteries of your kingdom. Give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Guide us and teach us by your Spirit. I pray these things as I yield to be a vessel in the authority of the name of Jesus. So be it. Amen. We are continuing our series entitled The Lord of the Harvest. This is lesson number 3. Before we jump into the lesson, I want to read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 through 5. This is Paul. This is one of the most powerful statements I've heard Paul. I said, I've heard it, like me and Paul hang out. I've read from Paul. It says, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That is so crucial. That is key. It is never about what man has to say. You know what's true on the flip side of that? It is never about what man thinks about you. You know, so many people are caught up and are in bondage to what people think, that they're missing the big picture. You are loved and accepted by the Creator of heaven and earth. Who cares what people think? Who cares what people are saying? What is he saying about you? In review last week, we looked at 3 different types of hope. We looked at wishful hope, expectant hope, and certain hope. And we saw that certain hope is Bible hope. And that's found in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. We talked about substance is tangible. Substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You can't have evidence without having proof. So we wrap that verse up by saying that the certain hope is unseen assurance brought into the seen realm by faith. Your victory will always be attached to faith. We will never be able to get away from believing in the unseen, trusting and expecting the unseen to produce in the physical realm. We saw that certain hope gives us peace and stability. We looked at Psalms 31, 24, and it says, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. Certain hope is so key for you and I to tap into. We define the word harvest. The word harvest means the process or period of gathering in. We looked at some synonyms for the word harvest: reaping, collecting, and bringing in. We saw in our foundation text that it's God's will to heal. Believe that. If you believe that, raise your hand. It is God's will to heal. We saw that God's plan includes total redemption. The blood of Jesus paid for healing at the same time as he paid for salvation. Don't ever allow your mind to say, maybe it's not for me. Maybe I need to do something else. If you believe you are born again, if you believe that you've been forgiven and Jesus is your Lord, you should have the exact same amount of faith in your healing. Same blood was shed for both at the same time. Let's go to our foundation text, Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 through 38. This is our foundation text for this series entitled Lord of the Harvest. Matthew 9:35 says, "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom." What was he preaching? The gospel of the kingdom. "And healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion." Underline that. If you have something you can underline with, "moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd." You know, it's not God's order for the body of Christ to not have a shepherd, to not have a covering. God has not called you and I to an island on our own. It is so critical that we have shepherds in our lives. The harvest is truly, verse 37, "Then he said to the disciples, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into" whose harvest? Into his harvest. We said we know it's important to him because it's his harvest. We know it's his desire for laborers to go forward because it's his harvest. Last week we said that God's design for the body of Christ is strength and unity, not weary and scattered. When we become laborers or workers and joining in, praying for others to do the same, we will participate in a great awakening. We not only need laborers to go into his harvest, we need disciples to continue and not get weary. You know, if you've identified yourself as a disciple, if you say, you know what, no matter what's going on, Lord, I'm just going to follow you. You're a disciple, and we need you. The body of Christ needs you to not get weary in well-doing. Stay the course. The promise is refreshing. The promise is you will reap in due season. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9 is the very proof text for that. It says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." It is so important, family, that we guard our hearts. Whatever you do, if you have aught against anyone, let it go. You and I can't afford what unforgiveness does to our hearts. If there's anyone you need to forgive, forgive them. My objective in today's lesson is to mobilize our compassion into being harvesters. We're currently in this series entitled Lord of the Harvest, and our subtitle for today's message is What Moves You? Compassion motivates people to go out of their way to help others. Compassion overflows. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 19. Where are you guys going? Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 19. I'm going to be reading this out of the Amplified. As you're turning there, compassion motivates people to go out of their way to help others. You realize the Good Samaritan would not have been a Good Samaritan if he didn't have means? He would have been someone, it may not even made the records of the Bible. The reason why the Good Samaritan is in the Word of God is because he had the means to take care. He was able to not only help them, he had transportation, he had means to pay for the inn, and he told the innkeeper, if this is not enough, don't worry about it. I'll bring more. We wouldn't be reading about the Good Samaritan if he wasn't financially capable of helping someone in need, left to die on the side of the road. Family, it is God's order for you and I to be financially blessed. Finances is a part of the covenant. Somebody say amen to that. Finances are necessary for you and I to advance the kingdom. Does anybody else believe that? Raise your hand if you believe that. Necessary. It is right to have. It is right to have means in order to help those in need and to build buildings and to sow in the lives of other people, to pay homes off, to buy cars outright. It's right to be able to bless somebody for real. What a difference that would make. How much you own your home? Okay, wait here and come back and pay their home off. How long you been driving that? 17 years? Oh, that's not going to work. Meet me down at the dealership Monday morning. Is anybody else believing for this? This is God's order. This is God's plan for the body of Christ. Ephesians 3:19 in the Amplified says that you really come to know, that you really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ. Family, we need to know and understand for ourselves how much he loves us and how much he loves people. We need to know that. It says, practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all your being until all the fullness of God may have the richest measure of the divine presence. Dear God, that is my prayer. Franz, it is God's order for you to have the richest, for you to have the fullness of God. You have the richest measure. You guys wrap your head around that for a second. Imagine embodying the richest measure of his presence. Is there anybody who desires to be a vessel that houses the richest measure of his divine? And you know what will happen? Miracles everywhere you go. You know what can happen? Sickness can't coexist in the richest measure of his divine presence. Family, we're talking about transformation from here on out. We're talking about being the answer, being the solution, being the one that goes into the harvest field and bringing in the harvest. It goes on to say, until all the fullness of God may have the richest measure of divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. Dear God, being flooded with God himself. When we really know and experience God for ourselves, we'll be filled and flooded with his divine presence. When that happens, compassion will be mobilized. When you overflow with his divine presence, you are going somewhere to love on somebody. You are going somewhere to bring forth the harvest. Remember, the greatest, let's go to 1 John 4:4. The greater one lives on the inside of you. He's not just stopping by. He's at home in you. His home is you. 1 John 4:4. You know, what we have to look at the flip side of this. It says the greater one lives on the where? That means the lesser one lives on the outside. The lesser one is never going to inhabit. You are never going to have to worry about kicking the lesser one out. The greater one abides on the inside of you. And that's what you are to tap into and move. The lesser one is beneath you. The lesser one is trying to get in. The lesser one is irritating. The lesser one is trying to gain access by causing you to say something that he says. Understand your position. Say this with me. I have the greater one inside me. I am great because who's in me. 1 John 4:4 says, you are from God, not the devil. Look at your neighbor and say, you are not from the devil. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Even though the outside noise is loud sometimes, it's not greater than the gift that you and I have on the inside. Family, listen to this. Don't let distractions rob your destiny. Pressure, pain, and disappointments are meant to cause you to live out of a deficit instead of destiny. Every time they show up, you begin to rejoice in him because he's in you. You begin to acknowledge you have the greater one. It doesn't matter what you're going through, the greater one is on the inside of me. I'm going through this with the greater one with me. You know what that means? That means guaranteed victory. Guaranteed victory because the greater one dwells on the inside of me. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 11. We'll look at 11 through 13. Where are you guys going? 1 Kings 19, 11 through 13. If you said yes to Jesus, you are in union with deity. Your DNA is divine. Family, if we would receive that, anything that comes into our body, we know it's trespassing. My DNA is divine. I am in union with deity. Deity is a part of my blood. You have a blood-bought right to win and succeed. You have a blood-bought right to be an overcomer. 1 Kings 19, 11 says, then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. Our subtitle, again, is what moves you. You can't abide in him if he's not in what moves you. You can't abide in him if he's not in what moves you. What am I saying? If you are responding to the wind and he's not in it, you're not abiding in him. If you're responding and reacting to the earthquake and he's not in it, guess what? You are not abiding in him. But you'll understand, Pastor, that the speaker was on fire. It was awesome. It was on fire. What did he say? It was fire. It was awesome. It was amazing. Well, didn't you go there to get instructions? Yeah. Did you get instructions? No. But it was awesome. It was so powerful. You should have seen him. He was spitting, jumping. It was awesome. So you still don't have instructions? No. But it was hot, hot, hot. I'm telling you. We're not called to sensations. We are called to be led by the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit says go left, we need to hear him say, and go left. It's not enough to feel him if we don't hear him. True or not true? Family, this is critical. It's never about chasing a move of God. We have to walk with the God of the move. When we do that, we'll never miss it. Can we do this? What did the Lord say? And after the fire, a still small voice. Verse 13 goes on to say, so it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly, a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? Not about the spectacular family. It's about the still, small voice. Because he's leading us. His desire is to lead us and guide us. The spectacular will never replace his voice. Amen and amen. The spectacular will never replace his voice. His still small voice is supernatural. Don't miss it reacting to the spectacular. It doesn't matter how noisy it is. It doesn't matter how loud it is. Don't you miss what he is saying looking at what is being done. Amen? John 10, 27 and 28 says, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they, what's it say? Follow me. It's in the following. If he says, go here, if we hear his voice and don't respond, it does us no good. True or not true? First and foremost, we have to hear his voice. Raise your hand if you want to hear his voice. I'm going to be as bold as to say, I promise you, if you follow this, will begin to hear his voice louder than ever before. Watching online, if you take heed, if you pay attention, if you grab hold of this word, you will hear his voice like never before. And I give them, still John 10, 28, and I give them eternal life. Now, would the them receive eternal life if they did not hear his voice? They did not follow him, would they receive eternal life? Let me help y'all out. The eternal life is what we're after. The value of the reward for following his voice is what we're after. That lasts so much longer than a feeling. That lasts so much. It don't matter if he was on fire, if he was hot, hot, hot. You don't have a takeaway that you know good. We don't want to jump, scream, and shout, and then think, man, I didn't get nothing I can use Monday through Saturday. It has to be about substance. How do we use the word of God to reign in life? How do we tap into what's ours and apply it to our lives? If we can't do this, I'm out. If I can't find victory in the word of God, I'm done. I'm not interested in just gathering and hanging out. I love y'all. Y'all good people and everything. But I'm not interested in just gathering. I'm just not. Can I be real? I'm interested in victory. I'm interested in overcoming. I'm interested in watching devils flee because I show up. I'm interested in eyes opening, ears opening. I'm interested in the dead being raised at the sound of my voice because the greater one lives on the inside of me. Not okay to let depression, sickness, and disease surround you, touch your life, your family, your loved ones, and do nothing. Family, that is not okay. You have the power to cause every sickness and every disease to bow down to the name of Jesus. Because what's in you? You know, I made the statement last week that some of us are in love. Some of us are in union with our devices. Some of us are one with our devices. If we were one with him, dear God, what would take place? You would see in the spirit realm. You would hear his voice. And the power of God would manifest. And you would walk in victory everywhere you go. Turn your back on the distractions of this world. Reign and rule with him. The greatest price paid for anything was paid for you. You understand that there will never be a price greater than the blood of Jesus. It was paid on your behalf. It was paid so that you could go and do what God is calling you to do. Your assignment has lives on the other end of it. Family, grab hold of this truth and never be the same. So much better than a feeling. A long-lasting relationship, an understanding that we are extensions of the Messiah. Hearing God is your birthright. You are supposed, it's not weird to hear God. Can we just settle that? It's not weird to hear God. Hearing God is your birthright. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 14 through 17. Hearing God is your birthright. Raise your hand if you want to hear God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God. That means as many as want to. I mean, look at your neighbor and say, you qualify. You qualify. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. But you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Say, I am a child of God. Let's say that again. I am a child of God. And if children, then heirs, you have inherited everything heaven has to offer. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. You know it's wrong for you and I to admire Christ and not do the works that he did? Think about that. It is wrong to look at the Bible and say, man, did you see that? That was awesome. He was walking on water. He was raising the dead. Go, Jesus. We are co-laborers. We are joint heirs with him. We should be celebrating the Jesus in one another doing greater. Mark 4:9 says, and he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. It's going to require us being intentional about hearing the word of God. It's going to be us saying, Lord, what are you saying to me? I'm going to put aside my to-do list. Lord, what are you saying? Think about this. Jesus said, and he said to them, he who has ears to hear. Now, did they not have ears? They had physical ears. What was he saying? That's intentional. We have to choose to tune our spiritual ear into the voice of the Father. Being a harvester is going to require compassion and courage. You don't have to do it in your own strength. That's what's so powerful about the Lord. What he's asking of us, he's not asking of us to do it on our own. We don't have to do it in our own strength. Being with and staying connected to Jesus provides both courage and strength. Let's go to John chapter 15, verses 4 through 5. I'm going to read this one out of the New American Standard Bible. John 15, 4 through 5 says, abide in me and I in you. Who abides in who first? Abide in me. This is Jesus talking. What is Jesus saying to us? Make the first move. Jesus is saying, abide in me. Make me a priority. Come to my house. I'll go to your house. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. Family, we are fruitless without him. Anything we earn on our own is not bearing fruit. What an eye-opening statement. Verse 5 goes on to say, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. Those who choose to abide in Jesus bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do a little bit. Some things you can get by. Who said you can do nothing? Look at your neighbor and say, the best you is in him. The best you is in him. If you connect to him and continue, this is what makes you a disciple. Let's go to John 8, 31 and 32. Any disciples in the house? Any disciples online? Drop a note in the chat and let us know. You too are a disciple. You know, there is somebody who is in need online. And a loved one is sick. And I just heard the Lord say, focus on me, continue in me. I will take care. Whoever that is, make sure you do that. Here's the thing. The enemy loves to get our attention. He doesn't care how he does that. Somebody close to us. In fact, it needs to be somebody close to us. Off of him. If you need God to show himself strong in your life, you are at that point where you manifestation in your life. What the Lord is saying to you is keep your eyes on me. It doesn't matter what the need is. I keep our eyes on him. We can walk on water. Our focus is our victory. So very important. The more you focus on him, the more he'll bring those things to pass. That is so strong in my spirit right now. Don't be distracted. Let him do the heavy lifting in our lives. Let him do it. He's going to do it way better than we can do it on our own. Gotta believe. First and foremost, you got to believe he can do better than you can. You got to believe that and have the trust to let go. Stop worrying. Whoever that is online, the Lord is ministering to that individual right now. John 8, 31 and 32 says, so Jesus was saying to those Jews who believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You know, disciple is somebody who's actively imitating both the life and the teaching of the master. It means a deliberate apprenticeship, which makes the fully disciple a living copy of the master. Wow. wants to be a living copy. Don't allow your mind to qualify you. That's available. God's intent was for Jesus to be the first. Greater works are at our hands. Greater works than Jesus. Anybody bold enough to believe that? So very important. Application. You guys, get your notes out. If you don't already have your notes out, those of you who are watching online, the notes are online. Application. In order to apply this message to our lives, the first point is what? Don't promote your past over God's power. You know what? As far-fetched as that seems, I hear that and see that. You don't understand what I did. You don't understand my background, my upbringing, as if that is greater than the power of God. Family, all the time. All the time. Guilt and shame is invited in because of looking back. Last week I said, don't look back because you're not going that way. True or not true? Don't look back. You're not going that way. Why subject yourself to the little tiny rearview mirror and we got the big windshield in front of you? Go forward in him. Go from faith to faith, glory to glory. Number two says what? Live your life as a disciple. What you read is how you feed your life. These are some disciple keys, some disciple tips. What you read is how you feed your life. What you say is how you water your life. What you think is what you plant in your life. What you meditate on is what you harvest in your life. And what you imagine is what you illuminate in your life. Number three says what? Depend on the greater one inside. Number four says what? Man, that's so good. Let's settle that too. God can only settle, or God can only anoint you. Don't try to be anybody else. There'll be zero anointing on it. So many people are born an original and die a copy. Sad but true. God is looking to anoint what he's created you to be. Why would you try to mess up what God started? You know what he was doing? He wants to anoint his original you. Not a copy, not a watered-down version of you. Amen. Number five. Number five says what? Faith to continue. You are never going to escape having to live by faith. That will always be a part of our lives. It's our lifestyle. Number six says what? Walk by faith, not by sight. Don't allow what you see to overwhelm. Believing and trusting. Faith is the holder of your destiny. You're not walking by faith. You're walking away from your destiny. That changes it totally. It comes from walking by faith being a suggestion, walking by faith being an absolute requirement. if you and I want to walk into our God design. Anybody out there want to walk into your God design? It requires faith. To choose not to walk by faith is turning our backs on our God design. Might be tight, but it's right. It's true. It is absolutely true. In Him we live and move and have our being. Number 7 says what? Your very life comes out of your heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, and guard, this is the Amplified version, your heart with all vigilance, and above all, that you guard your heart, for out of it flow the springs. Number 8 says what? Valuable. God has put in a unique treasure on the inside of you, and it is being protected by the blood of Jesus. Agree with God. So very valuable. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of power may be of God and not of us. Thank you, Lord. You guys get anything out of that today? Were there some nuggets in there that we can live by? You know, so very important. You know, I can't get away from healing and deliverance. So I'm not gonna try. Let's begin to pray the Holy Spirit.